Hello and welcome to the Jake and Gino Show. Today's guest is Liz Faircloth. She's the CEO of Investor Community, a platform to empower women to live a financially free and balanced life, and co-founder of the DeRosa Group, which controls $130 million of residential and commercial assets. Most recently, she co-authored and published Only Woman in the Room, Knowledge and Inspiration from 20 Women Real Estate Investors. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Thank you so much, Gino. I appreciate being here with you.
Thanks, Liz. And I have to take you to task for a second really quick. On this thing, you gave me a nice sheet to ask questions and all. And I see a question that says, why women make better investors? Liz, my wife is better than me at everything. Can I have at least one thing that I'm better at her at? She has six kids, homeschools, laundry, food. She's a doc. She does everything. She cut my hair. Why do women, in your opinion, make better investors than men?
It's a good question, right? So it's interesting too, just to back it up, you know, statistically women do outperform men, you know, actually it's not huge, but it is a percent, you know, at least like a 0.4%. And women are doing it less as well. So that's the other piece of the puzzle, is that actually women are doing it less. I think there's a lot of women investors out there, and it's increasing, right? So the shift is happening. You know, I think, you know, listen, I make a great team with my husband. You know, there's things that he shines and where I shine. So by no means are women just better than men. I do think, though, when it comes to investing, there's a cautiousness and a conservativeness that serves women really well. So once they do invest, it's usually the right bet. It's usually the right deal. They don't go, I don't know a lot of women who go in, you know, in that sense of, we'll just figure it out. They're cautious, they're careful, they're smart about it, and they make the right calls once they do it, right? So that's the gap, right? Getting the from the thinking to the actual doing, and that's why we exist with the real estate investor community. But I think that's part of it. I also think there's this level of, I mean, we've been building our community for 5 years, Gino, and you know, when you go to networking events, sometimes I go, like, how many doors do you have? It's a little bit of a bravado thing, right? You know, and I always ask my husband, like, why don't people always start there? And a lot of women don't do that. I think there's this level of collaboration, even with other syndicators or other, you know, women in the business. You know, there is a level of collaborativeness versus competition. I don't know if that's a male-female thing. I don't know where that all comes from. I think there are women who are very competitive. There's no question. But still, there's like a level of collaborativeness to that. And I think that serves you in the business of investing, because it really is a team sport. And you know, you can't, I mean, you could buy a single family home by yourself. But once you start scaling and growing a portfolio, it's really hard to do it by yourself.
It's really hard to do it all really well by yourself.
Yeah, so I think those are two things.
I love what you said most importantly, and it's really the impulsiveness. The average male is much more impulsive and has that much more get there-itis. And to create true wealth, you need the 5 years. You need the time to build. And it's really cultivating it and working on it. Not saying crypto today and single family tomorrow. My wife is not built like that either. I know a lot of women that aren't built like that. That's really, really important to become successful, I think, in any endeavor. Now, I did what Jake normally does. I snowplowed. I jumped into the conversation right away. At least let's tell the listeners your background, how you got started in real estate and all. I just got excited with that question. I'm like, damn, my wife is better than me at that too? Is there anything that she's not better than me at that? But I just thought that was interesting.
I love it. Yeah. So long story short, I was at the time in graduate school getting my degree in social work. My husband at the time was my, I didn't even know him yet. And at the same time I was going to graduate school, getting my degree in social work, my brother-in-law, who was the only entrepreneur I knew, grew up with a school teacher. My mom worked part-time and, you know, just hardworking middle-class family, both of them from New York, you know, Italians from New York, and, just hardworking family. Didn't know any entrepreneurs, didn't know anyone that invested. My brother-in-law hands me this little purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, when I was 21, right about when I was finished with my graduate school degree. And he said, you need to read this. And I'm like, why? What is this about? And I read it, and it really just opened my eyes in a way, Gino, that I know many people often talk about, concepts that I never heard about, like passive income and growth and, you know, working as a business owner, working to achieve kind of like that idea of money working for you versus working for money, right? That just all those concepts really opened my eyes. And I said, wow, maybe real estate could be an avenue. And I didn't know much about it. And literally a few months later, I meet my now husband. He was working as an engineer. I handed him the book as well. And he's like, wow, this is very fascinating. So we really started our journey together learning about real estate. We went to courses. We went to about a year. We took courses at the local RIA meeting, RIA organization called DIG. It's still in existence. And that's what we did every weekend together. Our 20 something year old, just that's what we did on the weekends, was got together and went to a bunch of RIA meetings. And this is like before social media, right? This is before all this is like 2004. It's a long time ago. And we found our first property by door knocking, by calling for rent ads. We found a guy that wanted to sell potentially his duplex. And that was one of the strategies we learned in one of these, day workshops. And he said, I'm interested in potentially selling. I have a vacancy, because that was the strategy, right? Call vacancies, because they may be just frustrated that they have a vacancy and they may want to sell. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did, and struck up a deal. It was a duplex. I want to say it was around $115,000 at the time. It was a row home right outside of Philadelphia. And we found a contractor and renovated it and kind of got our start from there.
What inspired you to start the investor platform? Because I'm going to tell everybody out there, I'm sure Liz makes a lot more money in her real estate than she does in her education business. And even after 5 years, it's a passion. It's a love.
It is.
But at the same time, you will monetize. But that's not the reason ultimately what you figure out doing this. Because when you're doing speakers and you're putting events on, you're looking at what the AV costs and what the speakers cost and everything. And the weekend and the 6 months of the training and the marketing. It's like, why am I doing this? Like, what did God put on my mind to do this? What was your inspiration? Why did you start it?
Yeah, it's a great point too, right, Gino? So at the time, 5 years ago, my business partner Andressa and I were getting together. We were actually partnered on a number of deals, projects. We were flipping some properties together, doing some new construction, and we'd be getting together. We'd go to meetups, and it was always an interesting part, right? Because we'd always be masterminding together. We started even a women's mastermind prior to Invest Her, and it was great, right? You'd be sharing ideas, thoughts, how you do in masterminds. And we'd always be getting together at these events, and we'd be like, where are the women in this business? It'd be really, really, really powerful to bring these women together so we can ourselves obviously continue to grow and expand. But what do we need to really help women who haven't done their first deal or are scaling their business? So it's like you have the hand out and the hand up, right? And so we couldn't find anything. And we were like, and then we start to do you start to really get into the space of, and I actually, quick story, 20 years ago, wrote a business plan when I was in graduate school getting my degree in social work. I took a business course at Wharton, so it's at Penn, University of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And my business plan was to empower women who had a mental illness, because that's the work I was in, but to really help them sustain their lives. So I was always gravitated, even in my corporate work, to supporting women and empowering them, right? So that was like literally for the last 20 years of my life. Andressa, similar and for different reasons. So we also had this kind of pull, and then to do it within real estate investing, we said, where are these women? They're under the radar. We know they're out there. And then you go to the conferences, quite honestly, Gino, and women, like one woman was on a panel. They're never keynoting. And if they're on a panel, they're talking about how it is to be a woman in investing. It's like, ask me about multifamily, ask me about raising money, ask me about, things that matter. No, in terms of being singled out a little bit. So we just saw this need. And so we said, let's start a podcast. Let's interview women, let's shine the light on their stories, and we'll see. We think there's a need. I honestly didn't know there was a need, Gino. I couldn't have painted the picture of exactly the need, right? Because you have a hunch, but yes. You never know really as an entrepreneur and as a person who's starting something. And I was told we'd run out of women from a good friend of mine, who's a male. He said, you're going to run out of women. There's not that many investors. I'm like, I don't know them all, but I don't think that's correct. I just think they're running under the radar. That's what I think. And that was really true 350 episodes later. I don't have any problem finding women to interview. And we interviewed just women. So, that was the reason, and to really create this safe space for women to get the support they needed. You can get support anywhere, Gino, and you know that, right? I can support a man, I can support a woman, but there's something special and really safe when you bring women together. It allows women to kind of take their mask off and to really get the support they need and not feel like they're being judged. And that's really important when you're creating financial independence.
And it's ironic that you say that, because in MM1, our first live event back in 2017, it was probably 95% male, 5% female. Multifamily Mastery 5 last year, we had 1,200 attendees. I would probably say it was 60-40, maybe 65-35. And even in the Jake and Gino community, we have the women of Wheelbarrow Profits.
It's awesome.
And there's women that every Thursday they get on at noon with my wife. They don't talk about real estate, to be honest with you. They talk more about raising kids. They don't talk about cap rates as much. They don't need that. And I think men should do that more often. I think women, they're just more inclined to get together and collaborate and discuss. We're more inclined to get together and go, hey, how's that deal going? Whereas my wife can get on and talk about raising families and talk about doing a deal. How does that look? And talk about partnering. And I think that's an important component to our community. And as we grow our community, there's just the need, because some women are partnering with their husbands. Some women are doing it on their own. Some women are partnering with other people. So there's so many different components to it. How did you find your partner? What made you click with your partner? If there's any one woman out there listening to the show, what were the, I guess, the things that you saw, the really things that said, oh, I love working with this person. I want to continue this relationship.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, right? Because I have like two really business partners. I have my husband and Andressa, really, that I work as closely with. So what's interesting with me and my husband is that I'm going to answer that, but it's an interesting comparison. When we were growing our portfolio, him and I are very similar. So in some ways, as we start to really scale, we're like, really need an operator. We really need someone who's amazing at underwriting. You start to underwrite 200 plus apartment buildings is a different game than like a 10 unit and 18 unit that we were doing ourselves. So I almost felt like as we grew, I started not to feel like I was being redundant, Gino, but I felt like me and my husband are great partners in a lot of different ways. Day to day, operationally, we're very similar. So in some ways, you feel a little redundant in it. And on partnerships, if you feel redundant, you know, that can kind of feel like one person's doesn't have an exact place. Mm-hmm. Unless I was running a division, right? I was running something completely separate. But we were very kind of joined at the hip. So I almost like when I met Andressa and we started talking about invest her. I really, it was a way for me to get back into something just for myself too, where I could just be focused on rather than, I'm working with my husband and he's been in it longer than me, right? Not longer, but more entrenched, especially when I was working full time and he was in the day to day. So when I met Andressa, here I am, I'm a little more of an extrovert. I'm a little more of a people person. I love connecting with people. I put people over task. And she's really the opposite of me in a lot of ways. You know, she's much more direct, much more task oriented. I mean, she's like an amazing person at efficiencies where I'm like, you know, I'm a multiplier. She's a simplifier. And so complementary, we really were so different, but we came together similar on values where we really saw we had this similar passion and we had similar. I always say you want to be similar with passion, values, you know, work ethic. Being both self-aware and doing work on yourselves, I think is really important in terms of partnerships. Mm-hmm. We're both really committed to that. And then in terms of the differences, I mean, her and I are so different in terms of the way we approach things. That has also caused us to butt heads, especially as our business has grown, right? When we had the podcast, it was one thing. Then we had a meetup. We have 60 meetups now. We have a membership. We have a conference that we have 500 people and almost 35 companies coming to, right? This is and we're running out an entire resort. So the scale of what we're going through is really exciting, but it's also causes you when you scale and you grow, right? The friction and like, hold on, more challenges happen, right? In terms of how you look at things and how things are being approached. So our team has grown. So yeah, I mean, we're so complementary, which causes us when we really stay in our lanes, we can create magic. And when we're not, right, we can really butt heads and then you have those frustrations. But her and I are really committed to our mission. I always say, like, we're working with a mentor. And I think when you're working with a partner, you have to put yourself aside. And he always says, go mission, team, self. And so that's really helped us get beyond like, wow, that's frustrating or this is frustrating versus like, what's our mission? Let's put the then it's team and then ourselves. And then what can we do to work on ourselves? But more importantly, why are we doing this? To your point, Gino. We built a portfolio. We're doing real estate deals. Financially, that's a big piece of our wealth. This is a business. Investor is a business, but it's so much more than that, right? There's such a passion, and we're helping women have their right to equity and right to their financial, what's due to them. So it's a big deal, right? It's not just like, oh, it's nice, buy a rental property. Like we want to be fighting for women's rights here. Mm-hmm. That's how we feel. So complementary styles is everything. You have to keep communicating. You have to keep working on yourself. And when people are just like you, run from them because they're not going to compliment you. Mm-hmm. I would say if at a networking event, if you're like really extroverted and you meet another extrovert, they're probably not a good partner for you because you're going to be chasing your tail versus really kind of getting to business. So. Yes.
Can you share with us, with the listeners, the event that you guys have? You guys have an event coming up, upcoming with the Investor Conference.
Yeah. So we, this is our second Investor Con. It's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. We have we've literally rented up. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
Arizona, yes. Going a little high class for the listeners.
I know. We've rented up the entire resort of the Omni. It's a beautiful resort. So literally everyone that will be there will be with our group, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But our theme is generational wealth. It's actually, Gino, the number one reason that women invest in real estate is for generational wealth. So that's our theme. And we have 7 keynotes. Sharon Lecter is one of our keynotes. But we have 3, we have 20 speakers coming, talking about obviously real estate investing. We have someone talking about raising money. We have a woman talking about boutique hotels, which is a big deal. A lot of people are converting these, common hotels to more of like an experiential hotel boutique. We have someone talking about that. We have a woman talking about kids and money. And we have a lot of, a woman talking about neuroscience and how to have gratitude and it'll make you more productive.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cool speakers coming, but all on the cusp of generational wealth. And always our 3 pillars, Gino, is real estate investing, business, and self-care. And so we have a woman talking about the Colby, how to build a team, which is another assessment tool that you can use to help you build the right team. And then we have like mindful breaks. We have so many different things that are included in this that are much more like a transformational experience, like a retreat with like your 500 best friends. That's how we like to say it. It's not like it's not a stale conference. It's all women. And so that the idea is that you leave there with deep connections and obviously space for yourself to just kind of get rejuvenated. It's going to be in a beautiful place, but really getting the knowledge and the confidence. It's all women speaking, it's all women keynotes, and it's an all women's conference.
I want everyone to stop and think for a second. When Liz was 21 years old, she's reading the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Sharon Lecter was one of the co-authors of that book, and now she's got Sharon speaking for her. So think about that, everybody. So when you're saying to yourself, oh, you know, I can't do it, and she actually was a social worker. So to think, come full circle, and actually to be able to grow like that. I mean, how does that, have you stopped and really actually thought about it? You must have. When you were just trying to hire her, you're like, this lady put me on the path and now I'm friends with this lady and I'm actually sort of being mentored by her. Because when they come and speak for you, you're on stage, you're listening to them. You're like, wow, how powerful is it? Have you thought about that?
I have. Yeah, we've interviewed Sharon a couple of times. She interviewed me for her show. And so, I got really clumped, honestly. I think it's not easy for me. It's probably easy for me to cry at different times. Sometimes I don't cry. And then sometimes I'm like, here I am interviewing Sharon Lecter. And then we had Kim Kiyosaki as our keynote last year. Also very, one of the women that's always inspired us. And the way she kind of poured into us and had breakfast with us, me, Andressa, and here I'm like sitting there with literally having breakfast, breaking bread with Kim Kiyosaki. And now Sharon, just really, it's very humbling, but it's also very, it's like
it's
when
gratifying.
You have a goal.
To me, it's gratifying because you're sitting there going, I wanted to meet this person. I wanted to emulate this person. I read everything about them and they're just a regular person, but you don't know that at the time. And that person actually inspired me to do something. And now I'm having the conversation with her. And for her, it probably gives her goosebumps and it probably should because that's why she wrote the book. That's why she got into it, to help women and men like myself to actually become financially intelligent and to become financially free or to be able to understand that. So to me, I think the word it really is gratifying.
Yeah. And so it's almost like you feel like a steward, right? You're kind of passing the knowledge, you're passing on the flag, if you will. Because, you're hosting an event like this, right? It's like your wedding, right? You're going to feel like, everyone kind of wants to talk to you. It's just like your wedding, it's the same thing. And it's not about me. And that's the thing that Andres and I always said, and we will continue to say, some communities are very people-centric and that's great because those people know what they're talking about. And I don't feel like I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. However, I think what's unique about our community too, Gino, is it's like, there's a lot of experts, right? There's a lot of women who can teach. There's a lot of women who can share the nugget that next woman needs. It's not just me. It's not just Andres. It's the collective. It's like a circle, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what we embody. And I think, Sharon certainly embodies that too. And it's like, it just keeps inspiring me to think bigger and also not to limit myself and say, okay, you know, we were able to do that, you know, with the grace of God, if you will, you know, what else can we do to serve women? And as long as you're coming from a place of service, I think is always you know, really key. And it's not about me. It's really not, you know, it's not the Liz and Andressa show. It's Invest Her. And that's, it'll always be, whether I'm, you know, and I hope to always be involved in it, but it's, I really make it very clear. And I think about it. It's about the mission, not about me.
And let me ask you, how have you been able to scale over the last several years? Because you went from starting a podcast to all of a sudden doing meetups, to writing a book, to doing an online event, and then obviously to doing the event in person. What were some of the things that you needed to do to be able to scale the mission and the business?
Yeah, I think the big thing at the beginning was really, and I think it's continued, is being like listening to what women want and need. I think often we try to put things out for our quote unquote customers who we're looking to serve. And people were like, why aren't you monetizing your community? You know, this is like the first couple of years. And we said, we just want to understand them and we really want to serve them in the best way we can. So we've become obsessed with knowing who the women we want to serve are, what their pains are, their challenges, what keeps them up at night. We've literally become obsessed with knowing that, because how do you create an event if you don't know that, right? How do you really create a membership if you don't know that, and continue to study it and to really know it? So I think that really helped us. And then we did an online event during COVID, you know, and it was online. I shut the whole Zoom down in the middle because you shouldn't have me doing tech either. And it all was good. Everyone jumped back on, but it was very embarrassing. At the end of it, everyone was like, this was amazing. And everyone's like, what are you guys doing next? Like, what are you doing? We're like, what can we get involved in with you guys? We're like, we don't have anything. So, you know, we had a good problem on our hands. And that's when we put together our membership, our Strive membership, which is really like it's a very one of a kind mastermind for women who are, you know, have done 5 to 10 deals or looking to scale. It's for more of an experienced woman, you know, looking for the right women around them. So we created, I think that's the key, Gino, is you create and you scale out of really serving a need. It's not like you're scaling to serve, you know, just something in the sky. It's very focused. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've kind of grown that way, where we're like, okay, we've grown the community. Okay, what does that community need and want? And who are we looking to serve? We don't serve everyone. We have an application. Strive doesn't take newbies. And that might be something we do next, right? We create another kind of offering. But mm-hmm. we're very focused on who we're serving. And we really are obsessed with getting to know them in a sense of serving them in the best way we can.
And as you've been serving the women in the community and just in general, share with us some of the pains and some of the challenges that women do face in real estate and in multifamily specifically.
Yeah, I think that a lot of women that we serve, especially in our Strive community, are solopreneurs. They're doing it themselves. They're figuring it out themselves. I don't know if that's just a human being thing, if it's a woman thing, if it's a man thing, but somewhere along the way, it's almost like when you ask for help, it just diminishes your confidence or something. I don't know what that's about, but I think we really are trying to, like, you know, really encourage women to ask for help, ask what they need. Mm-hmm. And not be that solopreneur and have all the resources and answers yourself. When you're scaling and growing a portfolio, it's really hard to do it by yourself. And you start to get that, right? You can manage a couple of deals by yourself, but then you're like, hold on, I got to get that next lender. I got to get this type of, you know, I got to get creative here in my deal structure or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So that's one big problem. I think, you know, another challenge is that women are not just their solopreneurs, but they really have a fear of hiring people. You know, they're like, okay, if I'm going to go hire someone or hire the VA or hire someone to kind of take things off of my plate, are they going to do it as good as me? You know, so we have this kind of like sense of not letting go. And in a sense, that's stifling our growth. And that starts in the household. What can we let go of in the household as a partnership as well as a team? I know I've struggled with that. I used to mow my own lawn. I actually really like me and the guys in the neighborhood. That's, you know, me. And I wave to them. They wave to me. And I'm like, why am I doing this? My husband has no interest. He's like, well, I would rather hire someone. If you want to do it, go for it. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I did. And then I'm like a year in, I'm like, okay, why am I doing this? So we have to constantly, I think that's a challenge for a lot of women, is like stepping back going, what can I eliminate? What can I hire out? How do I get creative here? And stop doing everything myself. I think that's one of the biggest challenges in a lot of ways.
I have a question here that you wrote down to me, and I think this is important. I love to see the answer to this one about realtors. You know, because most women are pigeonholed into being a realtor. That's where they start.
Yes.
They're in the single family. Hey, I'm going to be a realtor. It's easy. And I think they make amazing realtors because women are more emotional. They see things better. Like, it's easier. They can connect with buyers and sellers, whereas multifamily is more by the numbers, is less emotion, it's more logical. So how can realtors become superstar investors? Because I think realtors, unfortunately, are always looking at transactions.
Yeah.
They're not thinking about what you said before, the impulsivity about thinking long term. How can that person being a realtor become a really good investor?
Yeah, the inspiration there, Gino, is that Andres and I were speaking 2 years in and to an event with 300 women agents, all women agents, and successful ones, right? Not newbies. And we had everyone raise their hand after we were talking. Our topic was like how to get started or how to thrive in real estate investing for this group of agents. And we say, show of hands, how many of you own a rental property or have done a flip or at least done, a real estate investment kind of transaction? And like five hands went up in a room of like 300. And I was shocked, honestly. I was like, whoa, you know, this is interesting. Here are women who are actually in the real estate game, if you will. They know the market, they have relationships. They know a lot about real estate. They know the title company. Like if you think about it, right, they're poised, yeah, if you will, to be really effective and actually be really good as an investor. Yet they're not doing it. So I'm like, there's a gap there. And so yeah, her and I got really like, you know, again, a little obsessed about just understanding why that is. I think there's that confidence gap, right? It's like we know what we know. I think this happens for a lot of people, right? I know what I know, but now I have to do it. Now I'm going to look at it a little differently. So that might mean partnering with someone. That might mean, okay, where do I add value? What are the gaps? Time, money, knowledge, right? It's usually one of the three. And then how do I set myself up for success? So I think people do things that they're confident in. And when we step out of that confidence, it's really scary, right? Fear sets in. Especially when it's investing, right? There's money at stake. There's time at stake. And I think we put too much, quite honestly, we put too much value on the loss of money. Not that I want anyone losing money, Gino, but I remember Matt and I lost 50 grand on a project and we were devastated, 5 years into our investing. And my brother-in-law, I was telling him, like, really upset, lunch. He's like, congratulations. I'm like, Did you hear me? Did you actually hear me what I just said? I didn't say $5,000 or $5. I said $50,000, Tony. That's a lot of money. He goes, you won't lose that again. And you have to lose money in this business because now you're going to learn from it and you're going to move on. It's just money. It's a big deal. You'll get it back. You know, that was very powerful for me to hear because I think a lot of realtors and agents and people who are fearful of investing, when they're poised to do it, have the fear, right? And I'm not saying it's not scary and I'm not saying, oh, 50,000 is what's the big deal. I'm not saying that because that was devastating to me and my husband. It really pushed us back in our goals and it was really tough for us. And it would be tough for anyone, right? To lose that kind of money. But I think it's in the losing of it that you learn the lessons. And I think once you start to accept that as an entrepreneur, you start to detach, right? Not that I want anyone to lose money, but it's going to potentially happen and you need to be prepared for it. And you need to learn how do I make that back 10 times? Mm-hmm. So I think for realtors, they have the market knowledge, they have the relationships. They have to look at what don't I know and how do I partner with someone who does know that? And what can I bring to the table? So I think the local market knowledge of a realtor is so valuable in our business, so valuable. And it's underrated and they underrate that knowledge, I would think. Especially as an investor going into out-of-state markets at times.
So do you think it would also have to be a paradigm shift with their mindset? Because they really have to have a different kind of mindset, whereas I need to build wealth here. I mean, I'm making this money, I'm living a great lifestyle, but maybe I should put a little bit aside every year, understand that, and I don't want to save for an event. I want to save to buy an asset to pay for that event. I think that's where a lot of realtors have the dislocation. They're just so really good at their jobs and they're so focused at building their business and building their brand that they don't take the time to step out and say, I need to make some passive income here. I'm making all this transactional money. I'm paying all these gains and all, but they don't really stop and think as an entrepreneur or as a person, a business owner. They're just out there. And it's a tough business. It's a tough grind to be a realtor because you're pitted between a buyer and a seller. I mean, yep. When the market's great, the sellers want top dollar, the buyers don't want to pay and vice versa. But I think also it needs to be that paradigm shift, that mindset shift.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a mindset shift, and it's also just the, like, where do people really want to be in their lives? Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people even stop to say, you know, in 5 years, where do I want to be? 10 years, what's that lifestyle? And I think that's what we stand for, is really it's about the lifestyle. It's not about the rental property. It's not about the multifamily property in and of itself. Although I love real estate, and I think what real estate investors provide is really can be such a great community building piece, right? Yeah. We're able to provide quality housing in a community. I mean, it's pretty cool that you could say that. Beyond that though, it's a lifestyle. And I think that's the big thing, is that women and men and everyone don't really stop and think, where do I really want to be? And I think that's something that Matt and I did when we met, when we had no assets, we had no money, we knew no one. We just had this, like, you know, not just a dream, but we just had this piece in ourselves that said, you know, where do we want to be in 10 years? And we were very, in that sense, very visionary, in the sense of like, what do we want to be doing, and who do we want to be helping? Those are the questions we asked as in our 20s. And I think those questions then navigated, and that those questions are the same questions I asked with Andressa when we started to invest her. So it's really about that futuristic kind of where we want to be. And then you work backwards. Because if you said, if I'm an agent who's got a very thriving business, and I said, where do I want to be in 10 years? Would the answer be hustling with buyers and sellers in the way that you're doing it today? Because the answer probably would be a little different, saying, you know what, I want to be a little more choosy in my clients, or I'd like to take off Fridays because I want to go spend some time with my partner or my kids, or I don't know, just go for a hike, whatever you want to do. So when we look at the future, it allows us to make better decisions today. Mm-hmm. When we don't, we're in the now, we're in the urgency, we're in like the pleasure seeking stage. I think a lot of people are there. But I think a lot in the future, and it allows me to make better decisions today.
I love that, because that's one of my final question before we wrap up the show. I think you said it so greatly. Start with the end in mind. That's what Stephen Covey says. And I think most of us ask that question when it's too late. So for everybody listening right now, ask yourself that question right now. And my last question is, if I want to get started in multifamily, what are the next few steps that I need to do? Obviously, that start with the end in mind, what I want to think of, because we can get so much done in 10 years, but in 1 year, we overestimate what we can get done in a year and underestimate what we can get done in 10. And I think that's a great question. So give me some other ideas or some other tips for a listener out there who wants to get started investing in multifamily.
I think it's, you know, multifamily is, and you probably would agree, Gino, multifamily is pretty crowded, right? There's a lot of, it's still a lot of deals are overpriced. It's crowded. So if you think about anyone that's an active multifamily investor right now, there's always two problems they can have, right? There's a deal flow problem or a money problem, or, you know, financial, being able to, like, you know, afford the asset, if you will, or fund it. I don't think that's as much an issue right now. I think it's more of the deal flow. I don't know about you, if you would agree. So I think if I had to start over, I would have found anyone that was a successful multifamily investor in my community. I would have asked them, where do you need support right now? And if the answer was deal flow, money, team, right? Local people being able to walk the site or what have you, depending on the answer. But I can just speak from experience that I think it's off market deals that make sense financially, where you could find a distressed owner. I mean, that you can find something and buy something under value than what it's really worth, right? That's the name of the game, rather than being overpriced. So find those active multifamily investors that you want to do business with, that you really respect. Ask them what they need help with, and then just work your butt off to help them get that. Mm-hmm. Would be my suggestion. Rather than, now you could go down the path of going to find multifamily properties and doing your own thing, but in hindsight, I wish I did more of that. More, do you know? I think Matt and I, we went through the school of hard knocks. Quite honestly, we just kind of stumbled upon different things early in our kind of tenure, and we figured it out eventually. But if I was starting now, I wouldn't do that, because it would take me longer. I would find someone who's successfully doing it, ask them what they need to, you know, what's the pain in their company, and go figure out how I can achieve that pain and get around them. That's what I would do, hands down, right now.
And one of our coaches is famous for saying, you can either learn on the street or you can learn in the classroom. And I will guarantee you, learning on the street is going to cost you a lot more time and money. And it's an investment in yourself. I mean, for you to grow these businesses and to do this stuff, you've actually probably invested in your education. You've invested in scaling up. So that's really important. Liz, where can the listeners get a hold of you? The conference you're putting on, buying the book, the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So easiest place is our, on our website is the Real Estate Invest Her. That's the Real Estate Invest Her, HER.com. And then it's Invest Her Con. One of the best places too to get you know, kind of connected to us is our Facebook group. And we have a free Facebook group. It is literally a community. We have started with our 40 friends, if you will, and have grown it to almost 14,000 women now. And you could literally post any question you have. There's no stupid question. It's a safe space. I literally am always taking things down. We're very, very, diligent to keep it as a safe space. So it's probably the best way to get support immediately. You can definitely check us out on our website, of course, but our Facebook community is probably the best way. And that's just, it's just go to, groups, and it's the Real Estate Invest Her on Facebook. And it's called the Real Estate Invest Her community.
What's the date of the event again?
Yeah. So the date of the event is May 18th and 19th. And it's, and you could just learn a little more about it on our website, the realestateinvestor.com. It's boom right there. But yeah, it's May 18th and 19th. We are just about sold. We have sold out of all of our sponsorships. We have some amazing companies coming, resources, products, lenders, just really very, very, just phenomenal companies. And we're about almost there in terms of our goal of 500. We have some tickets left. We're almost 3 weeks out. So yeah, come engage with us. We're promise you it'll be nothing like you've ever been to. So.
I love that. You know, from a brand that didn't exist 5 years ago to the Invest Her brand, that is just an amazing testimony to, you know, reading a book at 21 years old and now having that author speaking on your stage. That's another amazing testimony. And to being able to work with your husband, that must be a challenge in and of itself. So God bless you. You know, tell him that I said hello.
I will definitely tell him that.
Tell him thank you. And you know what, Julia, you're not listening to this podcast because you're better than me in everything. Okay. I'm not going to start investing.
I enjoyed interviewing your wife on our podcast. She was great. So.
Thank you. Listen, I want to thank all the listeners for listening. And it's been a great show. And May 18th and 19th, go out to the conference, Scottsdale, Arizona. I mean, come on. It's like a weekend. You're at a resort. You're going to be with 500 other women. You're going to be listening to Sharon Lecter and other amazing women. So once again, Liz, thanks a lot. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, Gino. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.